Part 5 of Rat's Reputation. I'll just remind you once again, you're listening to KUCI in Irvine, and hit a little theme music. Darkling Eclectica presents a collection of broadcast fiction brought to you by the Darkling Eclectica. Rat's Reputation by Michael H. Payne, Part 5. Followed Mr. Adler through the swinging door, over the burnished tile, to the big walk-in freezer, humming along one wall. "One thing I will say for them otters." Mr. Adler tapped the freezer door. "That water-wheel electric plant of theirs is quite the marvel." Taking the door's handle, he looked back. "If you'd step to your left, Master Retile?" "What?" Rat blinked and slid over. "Why?" Mr. Adler held up a claw, tugged the freezer door open, and part of the handle shot out, the mouse jumping to the side. The piece skipped across the tile and pinged to a stop against the base of the counter next to Rat. 2 years, he heard Mr. Adler say. I've been asking the superintendent to fix that. Rat bent down and picked up a sharp square of metal about half as big as his paw. But, the mouse went on, as long as it freezes fine, does she care that we take our very lives in our paws to open it? Rat looked up, saw Mr. Adler was grinning. Of course, the super's Camilla Spinner, isn't she? And my grandgaffer always said, don't talk to a spinner when there's a nibbler about.
Huh.
Rat nodded and gave Mr. Adler the piece of metal.
Well, I can ask Grandpa to have the council look into it.
I'd be much obliged, sir.
Mr. Adler fiddled with the handle till the piece snapped into place, then swung the door open.
And should you wish to help move this ice cream, I doubt anyone would notice a cup or two gone astray.
Rat's stomach tightened, stacks of paper cups labeled chocolate on the shelves. But he shook his head.
No thanks, Mr. Adler. I mean, I'll help you move 'em, but, well, I'm not really in an ice cream mood right now.
Mr. Adler spread his paws.
Suit yourself, young sir. Could you possibly get those boxes from the back there?
It took another hour or so to get all the little cups packed into the 5-wheeled ice boxes and pushed out into the cafeteria, and by then other folks had started arriving. Prin Weber setting up his camera equipment, the musicians from the Mouse Lodge tuning up, the kitchen staff getting into their aprons. Rat waited till Mr. Adler was positioning the last icebox, then grabbed his pack and slipped out the back door. Twilight darkened the sky. He scrambled over the playground fence and dropped into the alley behind the glassworks, closed early too, so the workers could bring their kits to the party. And it was a big thing, Rat had to admit, creeping along the wall to the downspout of the factory's rain gutter and shinnying up. School was like the lodge. All the mice went, no matter what clan they belonged to. Rat pulled himself onto the roof, looked back at the cafeteria glowing down in the schoolyard, then turned away, scurried around the chimneys to the other side of the glassworks, Night's Eye up just short of full and casting her light over Front Street below him. Through the alley between the shops, he let his eyes rest on what he could see of the East Channel, its rippling water tonight all black and silver. With a bow, he held up one paw so Night's Eye shone between his claws, the way Nona had taught him, and whispered,
"Please ask Shadowbane to watch Nona and Alphonse, and if you ever meet the lords and ladies of the Curia that these mice pray to, Could you ask them to watch Grandpa and Kylie and Cam and everybody here who's not a jerk?
As well as he could, he pronounced the doxology, the only long piece of shurid he still remembered. Then he clambered over the edge of the roof, down the facade, across the street, and into the alley. He didn't like to have a regular route when he wandered after dark, just snuck through the shadows and let his whiskers guide him, the way Grandpa said. It was easy on the south side of Otter's Gate. Everyone was asleep. But he always found himself drifting north to where the more nocturnal folk lived, switching the price tags on the produce at the night market, covering Mrs. Hombaka's windows with clay, climbing up the sides of the bailey oak to make noises into the air shafts for Judge Owl's courtroom. Stupid stuff, sure, but it was fun. Tonight, though, with Night's Eye so near to full, he kept to the deserted streets and alleys of the south side, finally ending up all the way down at South Point. He sat in the little park there above the beach for a long time and watched the east and west channels flow back together, a single river again after splitting up at the top of Otter's Gate Island. The clean scent on his whiskers, the splash in his ears, the play of Night's Eye's light, it always made him breathe easier. Other than out in the woods with Grandpa and Kylie, these nightly jaunts were the only time he really felt like himself. The next thing he knew, Night's Eye was on his right, the stars telling him that midnight had come and gone. The party would have been over hours ago, and he still had homework. He sighed, stood, stretched, and padded back to East Road. Up to Legion Street, around the bend at the school, to Aunt Milene's store, then along Chestnut Lane to Nibbler House. The place was dark, but the tin of cottonseed oil he'd buried under his window made sure his hinges didn't squeak. He climbed inside, clicked on his desk lamp, and leafed through the books he hadn't so much as looked at all winter. He jotted a few random notes till his yawns got too big. Then he put down the pencil, pulled open his bottom desk drawer, stroked his claws over his adoption papers. He always slept better after making sure they were still there, crawled onto his mattress, and curled up among the blankets. It didn't feel like more than a few seconds later that Aunt Tyra was banging on his door. 2 more minutes, Retire, and you'll get no breakfast at all! Wincing at the sunlight, he dragged himself onto the floor, grabbed his backpack, stuffed everything in, and stumped out into the hall just as the bathroom door opened. Kylie, the mint of toothpaste in her scent.
Good morning, Retire,
she said, was moving past him when the memory of the whole previous day crashed down on him.
Kylie?
He tried to say, but it came out as a squeak, made him clear his throat, Kylie looking over her shoulder.
Sorry about yesterday.
He spread his paws.
No one else will listen to me, so you're the only one I can yell at sometimes.
She turned to face him.
I didn't see you at the party.
He raised a claw.
And when Corin makes some comment about it, I'll tell her I didn't want to ruin her evening by reminding her how petty and spoiled she is.
A smile pulled her whiskers.
She waited all night for you, you know. I think she wanted to forgive you in front of everyone and give you some ice cream.
Rat laughed at that, but then Kylie said,
Right now, though, Aunt Tyra's about to give your breakfast to the shrews.
And he had to rush into the kitchen, grab the last few hotcakes and fried okra from beneath Aunt Tyra's glare. He ran, caught up with Kylie along Chestnut Lane, and asked,
So, I miss anything other than Corin's slow burn last night?
Kylie grinned.
Well, Ms. Tucker let me help organize the games, and it was great. Have you met any of the little Adler kits? We got into a round of Jackbird to Jackbird that...
She went on, and Rat listened, more or less, but he was mostly just happy that she was still speaking to him. And he always liked the way her eyes lit up when she talked about putting things together, helping other folks and such. She must get it from Grandpa. Suddenly, she broke off and looked up, a sharp scent stroking Rat's whiskers. He blinked, followed her gaze, saw Officer Hawk winging overhead, moving fast, losing altitude, landing further along Legion Street.
At school?
He asked, but Kylie was already scurrying in that direction. Rat followed her to the main gate, a crowd of students out in front of the office, a big mouse in a purple ascot waving his paws at the police hawk. The spinner himself. His sister, the superintendent, frowned next to him, Corin there, too, the embroidered purple scarf around her waist so oversized, Rat would have laughed if everyone hadn't looked so serious. He could hear Mr. Spinner now.
What I always suspected! I said we couldn't!
He stopped when his eyes met Rat's.
There he is, officer!
Rat's knees froze, everyone shifting to stare at him, and Officer Hawk shouted,
"Retire, Nibbler! You're under arrest!"
He almost turned and sprinted for the gate, but Kylie put a paw on his shoulder.
"Officer, what's the charge?"
"Stealing my ice cream!"
Mr. Spinner stomped forward, and Rat noticed for the first time that the spinner had to look up to meet his eyes.
"My sister kept strict account of every cup eaten at the party last night, but when I opened that freezer this morning, 8 cups were missing!"
He shook a claw in Rat's face.
"You weren't at the party, and everyone heard you arguing with my daughter about..."
"Wait."
Something tickled Rat's brain.
"You opened the freezer this morning, Mr. Spinner?"
"Well, of course! That's how I knew..."
"Did you get hit?"
He looked for cuts on the spinner's portly frame.
"What?"
Mr. Spinner's whiskers stuck out like porcupine quills.
"What are you talking about?"
Rat turned to Officer Hawk.
"Can we go into the cafeteria kitchen for a minute, sir?"
The bird cocked his head, and Kylie spoke up.
"The Ottersgate Town Charter does mandate that the accused or his representative can examine the crime scene if an authorized member of the Air Force is present."
Officer Hawk's wings tightened, and he turned to the kits.
"One side, please. We need to get through."
The mice shuffled out of the way, everyone muttering. Officer Hawk gestured, and Rat moved through the crowd, padded around the main building and along the grass to the cafeteria.
"Retio?"
Kylie whispered beside him.
"What's going on?"
"I don't know,"
he swallowed.
"But I need to see something."
He could hear the mice following, but Officer Hawk flew over to land in the playground, the bird nearly a head taller than the cafeteria roof.
"You folks go in,"
he gestured to the kitchen windows.
"I'll watch from out here."
Rat swallowed and went inside, Kylie still with him, the other mice behind. Crossing the cafeteria, he pushed into the kitchen and almost hit Mr. Adler coming out.
"Master Retio, they can't serious think you..."
"We certainly can,"
Mr. Spinner said, the mouse's breath hot against Rat's back.
"Out of the way, Adler."
"But, Mr. Spinner, sir..."
"Out of the way!"
A push made Rat stumble forward. He slipped around Mr. Adler and pulled him aside, mice pouring through into the kitchen.
"Let's get this over with."
Mr. Spinner folded his arms and glared at Rat.
"So we can lock this rat up in the Bailey Oak where he belongs."
Everyone was watching him now, Officer Hawk peering in from the big window on the opposite wall. Rat cleared his throat, looked away, focused on the freezer door, and almost cheered when he saw what he'd hoped to see. He turned back.
"Have you ever opened this freezer before, sir?"
"Well, of course not."
The spinner's frown grew larger.
"And nothing flew out at you?"
The spinner's brow wrinkled, but Mr. Adler stepped forward.
"The door handle!"
He squatted down to peer at it. The other mice craned their necks.
"Well, it's just when you open the door,"
Rat said, his eyes skimming the floor and not seeing any glint of metal,
"a piece of the handle flies off. But if it didn't hit you, Mr. Spinner, where..." "Oh, here, Master Retio!"
Mr. Adler was poking his paw into the gap between the floor and the lip of the freezer door.
"When it whacks someone, it tends to bounce back."
He pulled out the sharp square, bloody tufts of fur on two of its corners.
"Looks like it got 'em proper,"
Mr. Adler said. Rat turned to the spinner and raised his arms.
"I don't have any fresh cuts, sir."
Mr. Spinner opened his mouth, but Kylie came up and whispered into his ear. She touched her snout, stepped back, and Mr. Spinner suddenly looked like he'd been hit in the stomach.
Camilla, shouldn't these kits be in class?"
"Taryn?"
Superintendent Spinner blinked at him.
"Please, Camilla,"
Mr. Spinner said, his voice so quiet it made Rat more nervous than when he'd been shouting. Superintendent Spinner looked confused too, but she turned toward the group of kits.
"Come along, children. Mr. Adler, if you'd please ring the bell."
Mr. Adler set the bloody metal on the counter and rushed out, Superintendent Spinner and the kits turning, but Mr. Spinner said,
"Corin, could you remain a moment?"
Corin's ears went down, but she stopped as the room emptied, till only Mr. Spinner, Kylie, and Corin were left with Rat in the kitchen. Captain Hawk, still at the window, said,
"I don't think I quite understand, Mr. Spinner."
The spinner had padded over to the counter, picked up the piece of the freezer handle, was sniffing at it. The tendons under the fur along the back of his neck tightened, and he turned to Corin.
Well, daughter?
Rat blinked from one to the other as Corin folded her paws.
Well, what, Daddy?
None of that now.
Mr. Spinner gestured to Kylie.
I may not have Miss Nibbler's tracking whiskers, but even I can't miss your scent from this close.
He set the metal square back on the counter and gestured to the big purple scarf around her waist.
Did you at least disinfect the cuts before you put that thing on?
Corin gave a huge sigh.
Well, of course, Daddy, I'm not stupid.
The spinner gave a snort.
No, but you are grounded.
What?
Corin's jaw dropped.
But, Daddy, it was my ice cream. Why shouldn't I help myself if...
It's the clan's ice cream, daughter.
Mr. Spinner shook a claw at her.
Perhaps this will teach you to ask before you just take things.
He nodded once, turned, and pushed through the kitchen door.
Thank you, Officer Hawk, but, well, it doesn't look like there's been a crime here after all.
Rat watched the hawk's eye pull away from the window, then managed to say,
Wait a minute.
He turned to Corin, still staring after her father.
You mean you took the ice cream?
Her mouth snapped shut, but she didn't look at him. It was Kylie who said,
Oh, she must have. I scented her on that metal thing as soon as Mr. Adler held it up. But...
Rat blinked some more at Corin.
You were just going to stand there and let them lock me up?
She spun on him.
You deserved it! After the way you embarrassed me yesterday, Judge Owl should make the Air Force tear you up and eat you like they did your rat friends!
Her voice cracked, and she slammed out of the kitchen. Rat stared through the silence till Kylie cleared her throat.
They wouldn't have eaten you, you know. Stealing ice cream's not a capital crime, so...
The bell started ringing, and Kylie moved into his line of sight, pushed the kitchen door open.
Come on, we'd better get to class.
It took him a few swallows to say,
Yeah, sure. You go ahead. I'll be right there.
Kylie nodded, went out, and Rat's knees suddenly got all squishy, made him grab the counter with one shaking paw. It was like the caravan all over again. No, this was worse than the caravan. Not just whispering about him, not just accusing him, not just calling the police, but threatening to eat him for Shadow Bane's sake. And why? Why did this keep happening? What was he doing that made folks get so mad? Rat clenched his eyes. Was it ever going to stop? Just let him settle down and be... Be who? A rat? Because that was the problem, wasn't it? He needed to be a mouse. That was the only way. And he could. He knew he could. He'd learned to use all the forks when he'd first gotten here, and that had changed him from rat to ratayo. For a while, at least. He'd just have to treat everything like that now, like a game, a puzzle he had to figure out. When he went for his walks, he could be himself, but he'd have to use Grandpa's tracking tricks in town all the time, never let his guard down for an instant, make sure no one ever saw him being Rat. Like the Masked Mouse. Wealthy mouse about town by day, crime fighter by night, except Rat would wear his mask, his ratayo face, during the day... and only be his real self when he went out at night. A loud panting slapped his ears, and he realized it was his own. He caught his breath, focused on calming down. Ratayo would never act like this, he was sure. It took a minute, another few big breaths, a splash of water from one of the sinks, and then he was ready. His ratayo face in place, he moved to the door, pushed it open, and walked out of the kitchen.
It was his eyes sometimes, though, that made the chill rustle your fur. You'd be walking and talking, spinning and grinning, goofing and spoofing, and he'd be right there beside you, light as air, matching you step for step, joke for joke. You'd be crossing a meadow, bright with spring noontime flowers or winter morning snow, and you'd turn, a laugh on your lips and ready to share it. And something would catch you from those eyes, something solid as a stone the river's decided to wash around instead of trying to move, something so strange and out of place it'd bring a hitch and a swallow to your throat. I've even heard some say that those rat eyes with that look could freeze a hummingbird, bam, right in place in the middle of the air, could puff a rabbit's tail up and out, whoosh, like a dandelion just about to slough its seeds. But... I don't see as there's any need to get vulgar about it.
Bartolomeo Paracas.
And this?
Grandpa's voice made Rat stop and turn. The old mouse had snapped a spiky flower from a bush, squatting in the shadow of the box elder they were passing. Rat squinted at it.
Some sort of thistle, I guess.
He looked back at the ground.
You know, I'm starting to think this isn't the real trail anymore.
Grandpa grunted and pulled a petal from the flower.
This is tansy. It's handy for fevers, but don't use it unboiled or in any greater quantity than a bud or two.
He touched the petal to his tongue, and his nose wrinkled.
It's bitter stuff. But what makes you think you've lost the trail?
Well, the scent's gone.
Stooping, Rat sniffed, ran his claws through the half-decayed leaves.
It was dropping scales, too, but I don't feel them now.
He looked up.
Where did you get a snake skin to drag around, anyway?
Never you mind.
Tucking the flower into his vest pocket, Grandpa crossed his arms.
So, how do you propose to remedy this situation?
With a sigh, Rat stood.
Retrace, regroup, rethink.
Every tracker's motto.
Grandpa gestured back the way they'd come.
After you, sir.
Swallowing his impatience, Rat turned. This was still the best part of his week, the only time during daylight hours that he didn't have to worry about his ratayo face. But still, it wasn't nearly as much fun with just him and Grandpa. A breeze rustled the thistle bush, a tangled scent crossing his whiskers and pricking his ears. Kylie? Yes, she was nearby, and something muskier, someone he knew from... He snapped his claws.
Blaze and her mom!
He said out loud. He turned to Grandpa.
That smells like Kylie and...
Yes.
Grandpa was staring in the direction of the scent.
It does, doesn't it?
Without another word, he started off. Rat blinked, followed the old mouse through the forest's afternoon twilight, until they came out from under the tree canopy into a small meadow, midsummer flowers a carpet of yellow and orange. In the middle sat three figures with eyes closed, Fisher, Blaze, and Kylie.
Let your whiskers open up, Fisher was saying. You can feel the touch of the curial Lord Kitfox over the...
Afternoon, all!
Grandpa called so loud it made Rat jump.
Kylie, have you completed your assignment?
Kylie patted her satchel.
I've got all 7 hemlock leaves right here.
Grandpa's frown grew, and Rat couldn't miss the jagged scent of anger rising.
And did I give you permission to...
Oh, Raymond, please...
Fisher stood, padded across the meadow to settle in front of Grandpa.
Don't blame Kylie. With her whiskers coming in so fast, I thought she could use some...
Yes, I'm sure you did.
Grandpa's voice was so hard, Rat almost didn't recognize it.
But I'll thank you not to muddy the child's mind any further.
Fisher's ears went back.
Oh, surely you can't think an understanding of the curial powers is a bad thing.
Don't give me that.
Folding his arms, Grandpa glared up at her.
You believe in the curials as much as I do.
Anger in her scent now, Fisher opened her mouth, but a flash of fur and Kylie was standing between them.
Please don't.
She bowed to Fisher.
Thank you. You've given me a great deal to think about.
Then she bowed to Grandpa.
I'll meet you back at the oak.
She gave Rat a quick smile, stepped toward the trees, and was gone, her sound and scent swallowed by the forest. A rustle, and Rat looked back to see the big Fisher heading for the far side of the clearing.
Blaze,
she called,
let's find another meadow for this lesson.
Grandpa had turned too, was making for the woods on their side of the clearing. Rat moved to go, but something cold splattered the side of his head. He spun, met Blaze's eyes across the meadow. She flicked her whiskers at him, then slipped after her mother into the forest's shadows. He touched his claws to the wetness.
Mud.
A moment to wipe it from his fur, and he scurried to follow Grandpa. Catching up with him quickly, Rat just padded after the old mouse, pounding a weaving course around the tree trunks, standing close and tall this deep in the woods. But after a few moments, Grandpa sighed and stopped.
I'm sorry, Retire. I just...
He turned and shook a claw.
And I don't want to see you ever disrespecting Fisher, you understand? As a shaman, she's vital to the well-being of this community. It's just, well,
she and I disagree on a few points."
All Rat could do was blink at him. Grandpa scowled.
"All right, Kit, sit down."
Rat settled onto a fallen twig, and Grandpa spread his paws.
"Look around," he said. "Open your whiskers up as far as you can for me, will you?"
Another blink, and Rat let his whiskers stretch, felt the roughness of the bark under his fur, the crackle of the leaves beneath his paws, the dusty scent and scritch, scritch, scritch of a beetle in the tree behind him, the slow breathings of the breeze washing the tang of the tree canopy over him, the stroke of sun and shadow from the branches above.
"Yes," Grandpa's whisper came then. "Now tell me, do you sense anything beyond it all? Anything behind it?"
Rat's ears folded. He did, sometimes, and he knew what it was, but since neither Grandpa nor Kylie ever commented on it, he'd never brought it up either. He cleared his throat and opened his eyes.
"Well, back in the gypsy caravan, Nona used to tell me stories about the High Ones, so I..."
"The High Ones?"
Grandpa's brow wrinkled. "You mean the squirrel nature spirits?" He sat down beside Rat on the twig.
"What did she tell you about them?"
Rat had no idea where to begin.
"Well, Nona said Earth Mover led Alphonse to me when I was a baby. She said..."
He had to swallow against the lump in his throat.
"She said the High Ones knew I was going to be special, that they would always watch me, 'cause they'd picked me, and sometimes it's like I can feel them out here, like..."
He waved his claws at the depths of the forest.
"Like they're just brushing past my whiskers."
Not sure what else to say. He hadn't talked to anyone about the High Ones since he'd left the gypsy caravan. He looked over at Grandpa. The old mouse was rubbing his chin.
"Well, you have to understand, Retile, that what you feel brushing your whiskers is nature. And when nature touches us, it's so huge and majestic and overwhelming, our minds have a hard time making sense of it. And, well, sometimes we end up seeing things that aren't really there."
Grandpa was looking out at the trees, his voice quiet in the shadows, but then he turned to grin at Rat.
"See, around here, you'll hear folks talk about the curials, lords and ladies and mystical powers controlling our destinies."
His smile faded.
"But we control our own destinies, you hear? And no tracker will let himself be fooled into thinking otherwise."
He tapped a gentle claw between Rat's ears.
"Nature's bigger and more marvelous than any gods or goddesses could ever be, so you keep your whiskers open, and you won't have to settle for anything as small as the curials or the High Ones."
"You mean..."
Rat swallowed.
"They're not real?"
Grandpa's scent got damp with discomfort.
"Well, the curials, I'll happily say they don't exist. As for the High Ones, well, let's just say I'd certainly trust any squirrel's spiritual insights over Fisher's."
He smiled.
"Folks who think some mysterious forces up in the sky are running their lives, they get nothing done and are nothing but miserable."
Patting Rat's head, he stood.
"So, shall we see about finding that snake-skin trail I laid out?"
Rat sat looking at him another moment, not quite sure what this had all been about. The curials didn't exist, but the High Ones did. Or something. But he nodded, got up, and started into the woods. Darkling Eclectica Presents has brought you part 5 of a reading from Rat's Reputation by Michael H. Payne. Narration and music were by Michael Payne. Darkling Eclectica Presents is a production of KUCI in Irvine.